encompasses Ozarks at large. Do you speak Ozark English? Scholars say it's a distinct dialect rooted in Appalachia, tracing back to the British Isles. And like many endangered languages, it's fading. But as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, if you listen carefully, you can still hear Ozark English spoken.
Buster Austin is an Ozark native. He turns 100 in October. And when we spoke with him early this summer for a story about homesteading in Madison County, he told us when he was a boy growing up, he loved to climb a rock bluff on nearby Penitentiary Mountain.
I've clumb it where it's nearly as tall as the trees.
I've clumb it. That archaic usage is rare and precious to linguists studying regional dialects. Shiloh Museum of Ozark History's Susan Young, a fifth-generation Ozarker, studies on these things. She travels widely as outreach coordinator, delivering programs of all kinds, including on Ozark dialect. But when she's out in public, she's also perennially on the lookout for native speakers.
When I can hear somebody say, and I don't hear it very often, why, dinner was plum larpin'. All right, there are two things in there. Dinner was plum larpin'. Dinner being the noon meal. Dinner is the noon meal. Larpin' is an old, old word for delicious.
Ozark English, she says, is mostly lost on Ozark urban districts. But in rural places?
People that live out in the rural areas that are living on the same land that they've lived on for generations, and grandpa and grandma might still live across the field from them. The traditions, including the dialect, just hangs on longer.
Especially in Newton County, in Madison County, what some of the locals call Booger County.
There are two favorite words that I use in my Ozark dialect program for kids. One is booger. You know what a booger is? Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, after they all come back from pretending to pick their nose, no, a booger is a ghost or a scary creature or a haint or a haunt.
Also, the double negative, which is schooled out of us.
There's not nobody that I can think of that knows these Ozarks any better than I do. I don't know. Not nobody. There ain't nobody. Yet double negatives are very, very common. And again, I don't know why. I can just tell you that when I hear it, oh yeah, it's like, okay, my people.
And the ubiquitous y'all?
Now, I grew up with y'all, and I say that all the time. It's just a normal way of speaking. But the more I've listened and the more I've talked to people here in the Ozarks, yuns is more historically accurate. Yuns. Yuns better come and go with us. I hear people that still say that today. That's a real lovely sound to me, because I don't hear a lot of people that say yuns. And when that's real Ozark right there, yuns.
Her accent, she says, exemplifies the broader Highland Plateau dialect, distinct from the Arkansas River Valley and Delta. So where is she from exactly?
Fedville. F-E-D-V-U-L. Now, let me say that the last thing I want to do, most of the programs that I get called upon to do have to do with traditional Ozark folkways. It's what people love to hear about, and that can be building a log cabin, quilting, moonshining, and the Ozark dialect. So all those things, moonshining and the Ozark dialect especially, are just dripping with our stereotype. You know, this accent that I have, people immediately think you're kind of dumb, like you're a hillbilly. I mean, it's not just my cross to bear. That's part of the Ozark stereotype, is the way we talk, or the Southern, the way we talk. Why, we must not have much book learning, or, you know, some of the wisest people I know sound like this.
But the thing is, Ozark English is rooted in Old English.
Travel writers and folklorists in the early 1900s especially made a big to-do about the Appalachians and the Ozarks having these remnants of an Anglo-Saxon seedbed, some of them would call it, and how you could go back in the hills of the Appalachians or in the Ozarks and find people talking the Elizabethan English, and that if you dropped William Shakespeare out of the sky and into this hill community, that he would be able to converse perfectly with the hill folk. And well, that's a little over-romanticized, because We didn't come from England and go straight to the Appalachians or the Ozarks. We had a chance to mix in on the East Coast with Germanic people and Scandinavian people. We had African Americans here with us as well. So it's not a perfectly intact Elizabethan English, but there are remnants of it. And there are a lot of scholars today that kind of poo-poo that and say that would say to me, you're romanticizing this. But when I can pick out a word like salad that is in Shakespeare, Shakespeare used the word salad. I can have a green salad. Well, I grew up here, and we're going to hunt for poke salad.
Whilst, reckon, ain't, and purchase, to get a grip or purchase on something, all Anglo-Saxon. Pioneering folklorist John Lomax and his son Alan traveled the Mid and Deep South collecting songs, stories, and oral histories. But Susan says the rugged and remote Ozarks have been overlooked by such scholars. That's why the work of early to mid-20th century regional folklorists Vance Randolph, his spouse U of A English professor Mary Celestia Parler, and folklife writer Otto Ernest Rayburn is highly valued. Randolph, in particular, was keenly interested in the Ozark Highlands dialect, publishing a number of books which continue to sell to this day.
When Randolph was studying the Ozark folks, he purposely sought out the oldest members of a community that lived the furthest back in the hills because he wanted to get those remnants of the old ways. He didn't go to the Chamber of Commerce and talk to the Chamber of Commerce president in Springfield, Missouri. He went to the folks back in the hills and hollers. So I think he had a fair... Certainly his research is unparalleled as far as a regional focus on folkways of people. I also think, though, he knew how to sell books, and several of his books open up in the introduction with saying the Ozarks are the most deliberately unprogressive. The Ozark people are the most deliberately unprogressive people in the United States. And he knew that people had this, we had this yearning. We all have this yearning, I think, to go back to a simpler way of life, however you define that. And for so much of us, the American simpler way of life, historically, you think of the log cabin pioneers.
But it's Vance Randolph's spouse, Mary Celestia Parler, who's credited for being the most prolific Arkansas folklore researcher and recordist. Courtesy of the Mary Celestia Parler Collection at Special Collections at the U of A in Fayetteville, here's a 1951 recording of Mary High Briscoe, a rural Carroll County native herbalist and folk singer at the age of 76, talking about her grandpap being bewitched by 9 black cats.
And Grandma had gone to bed, and every night they'd come in and dance around. 9 black cats would come and dance around the floor. And it was just a new house. And so he fixed him a chinking to fit that hole that they'd come in at every night. Here they come in dancing around, and before he could get that chunk in to save his neck, every one of them had gone out.
Now note the difference between Mary Briscoe, who lived close to Missouri, and this tape of Ivy Trail, archived in the Library of Congress American Folklife Center, recorded by Vance Randolph in 1942 in Farmington. Ivy's reading a letter she'd written to President Theodore Roosevelt requesting more medical services for her people.
There's some that says people can't make a living in the hills and ought to move out, but our mountain people are happy and they can raise stuff to eat and they have lots of wood all around and plenty of pasture and they get along all right and they'd kill them to be cooped up in town and they don't ask no odds of nobody if it just wasn't for when sickness hits and things like that, why they can't get a doctor.
Other recordings of native Ozark English speakers reveal words like born, once, and twice, and a coming and a going. Again, Susan Young.
And I still hear that one quite a bit with the older folks in rural areas.
What it does, it's almost a verb.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of... I don't know if it's an extra emphasis, not necessarily.
Linguists measuring cognate matrices, one word across cultures, for example, mom, have a new theory that Indo-European languages can be traced to Anatolian culture, that's present-day Turkey. But given our cultural amalgamation, they say, by the end of the 21st century, the world will have lost as many as 7,000 languages. So the next time you hear someone speaking Ozark English, You ought to sit and listen for a spell, says fifth generation Ozarks native Susan Young.
When you go to visit, like you're going on a Sunday afternoon, you're having dinner, you're having a noon meal with your old relatives, you sit and visit, and you might stay there all day. And then when you're done, you say, well, we better go, and they'll say, well, you might as well stay a while longer. You might as well stay more. And then your response is, well, you might as well come. You better come go with us. It's a way of saying goodbye. The people that are leaving will say, well, you better come go with us, while the people that are staying will say, well, you better stay more. So it's just a way of saying goodbye, and that's a lovely, lovely Ozark tradition.
Now, we plumb forgot at the end of our interview with Susan Young to ask her about the word drought, much discussed this summer on the Ozarks Plateau, because some tend to say the word drouth. Why is that? A search of the Cambridge History of English Language found the archaic usage, drouth, D-R-U-G-A-T-H, the Anglo-Saxon word for dryness. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more about Ozark history and culture, you can visit shilohmuseum.org.